taken time out of your life to be here with us. We appreciate that very much. We hope that your time spent here is encouraging to you and provides you an opportunity of honoring God. And we hope that if we can be of encouragement in further consideration and study of God's Word or anything else that we can do in service to you, that we're able to accomplish that. We hope that we can do that for you and you'll feel comfortable allowing us to know that we might serve you. I want to invite you to get your Bible and join us as we study together from the Word of God. And as we ask the fundamental question of which we sang, Stand Up for Jesus, the question we're going to ask is, are you up to the fight? Are you up to the fight? In Luke 13th chapter, that Brother Caleb read for us a moment ago, the Lord Jesus, in fact, tells us we've got to be up to the fight. We have to commit ourselves to understand that there is a call to vigilance and a call to a struggle, to a contest, to engage in, and it has to do with our salvation. And let's as we reflect upon that and introduce the idea, let's remind ourselves that saving faith must be of that nature. It must be obedient. In James 2 and verse 17, the inspired writer says, Thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. Faith is dead if we do not activate our trust in God by obeying His will. So when Jesus was asked, are there few that are saved? He said, strive. Strive to enter in. Have a faith that compels you to drive you to the contest and struggles for victory. In Hebrews, the 10th chapter, in 36 through 39, you have need of endurance, that having done the will of God, you may receive the inheritance. And he sums it up by saying, we are not of those who have that draw back unto perdition, but are of those who have faith or who believe to the saving of the soul. The faith that does not draw back to destruction. The faith that presses forward to the salvation of our souls is one of endurance. Is one that fights the fight and is vigilant in service to God. That's what Jesus alludes to when he says we must strive to enter in. We cannot rely on our strength, and we sang about that in our songs this morning. Let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. We cannot rely upon our strength by ourselves. By ourselves, we cannot overcome sin. By ourselves, Satan would have the victory. But we're more than conquerors through the one who loved us. We have victory because we stand in the power of God. We walk by faith, not by sight. If we were to walk by sight, if all we did was trust in our own power, then our weakness would overwhelm us. And the gates of hell would prevail, but they do not. Because we have a Savior in His power, in His strength, that has overcome sin and overcome death. And so we walk by faith. We live with the trust that obeys God and commits ourselves to His purposes and to His will. Romans 8 and 37, the apostle said, Yet in all these things, tribulation and anguish, persecution and the sword, famine, nakedness, peril, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. So it's not by our strength that any fight will be won. Every fight against sin and against Satan is going to be won by the power of God. And so, Jesus says, strive. The word that He uses is a word that means to enter a contest and to contend in the gymnastic games. Agonizomai, and you see the word agony that we transliterated, we have an English word from. And the idea that it's really it's a striving that continues. It's an ongoing thing. The form there is we keep on striving. And so we enter a contest. We enter the games, if you please. That's how the word was applied sometimes. But we're in a spiritual contest to contend. And so it's also used to the idea of contending against an adversary. There is an opponent that we fight against, as well as a contest in which we are striving to be victorious in, have a positive aspect of in winning. He says we're contending, we're fighting, there is a struggle, metaphorically. That is, in the figure of speech, it means then to struggle with difficulties, to struggle with dangers that affect our souls. As Jesus talks about it, to strive to enter in by the narrow, or through the narrow gate. And so it means to endeavor with strenuous zeal, to strive and so to obtain something. There's something to be obtained as this word is applied. It's not just the struggle of the moment, but there is a prize at the end. There is something to be achieved, something to be grasped, not by our power. We already said it, not by our own power, but we stand up with Jesus. We put on the whole armor of God, that having done all, we stand in the last day. We stand in the day of battle. We stand in the day of contention, of contending, if you please, or strife for salvation. Now, note please with me that God condemns strife. God condemns quarreling and contentious wrangling. In Romans 12 or 13, put away envy and strife. In Galatians 5 and verse 20, contention is a work of the flesh. In James 3 and verse 16, James again tells us that envy and self-seeking causes confusion and every evil thing. These are from beneath, the wisdom of the world. That's not what Jesus is talking about when He says strive, when He says contend, when He says struggle, when He says you enter into a battle with an adversary, you face the difficulties and dangers, and you obtain the prize. He's not talking about contentious strife. We've got to put that away from our hearts and from our treatment of one another. What Jesus says is we have to struggle with strenuous zeal to obtain an eternal prize. That's what God calls us to. That's what He's commanded of us. And the question is this morning, will you enter the fray? Will you enter the battle? Will you strive to enter the narrow gate? What are you doing about that yourself? Paul said, I've fought the good fight. We'll come back to this at the end. He says, I've fought the fight. And he uses that same word, same root word. He uses the noun form of it. Fought the fight. I've struggled. I've been engaged in the contest. Now, there's a crown of righteousness laid up for me. That's what we want to talk about this morning. That's what we want to see. We want to see some areas of application for ourselves. Applications that have to do with salvation, because that's how Jesus used it. An application that has to do with your own salvation first, your salvation and mine. And then an application of the salvation of others. And then finally, an application that has to do with the ongoing or endurance in that struggle for the eternal prize. So let's begin by looking at the fight to be saved. Jesus said, and we reiterate, one of them said to Him, Lord, are there few who are saved? And He said to them, strive. Strive. Battle. Contend. Fight. Struggle. To enter through the narrow gates. You think it's an easy path? Jesus said, no, you strive. It's not an easy path. You strive to enter through the narrow gate, for many, I say to you, will seek to enter and will not be able. Why? Because they didn't know the way? No, because they rejected it. Why? Because they didn't want to go? No, because they weren't willing to pay the price to strive, if you please, to enter. And He goes on to discuss it, doesn't He? To Him, to our Lord, is about a struggle to enter the kingdom of God. That's what He was talking about. That's what He was asked about. We have to struggle to enter the kingdom of God, where the salvation is. In Luke 16:16, Jesus would, in another context, say, the law and the prophets were until John. Since that time, the kingdom of God has been preached, and everyone is pressing into it. there is a struggle. There is a violent pressing. People were wondering. People were wanting. The gospel was going out. The kingdom is being preached. There's a struggle. There's a fight that ensues. You know, Peter said that Christians with difficulty are saved. With difficulty. Now, the idea there is the same basic idea of the struggle or with this with much effort. Much effort. So, question is, are you fighting to be saved? Are you engaged in the struggle? Do you know that it costs strenuous effort? The agony of struggle to enter the kingdom, to be saved. It's a fight against sin and Satan. When Paul preached to Felix and Drusilla, the fight was present. He reasoned with them concerning sin and righteousness and the judgment to come. Look at that passage a minute. Acts 24:25. He reasoned about righteousness and self-control and the judgment to come. Felix was terrified. He was afraid. And he said, go away. When I have a convenient time, I'll come to you. The fight was engaged right there. The battle was right there. A decision had to be made concerning the truth of God. The reasoning from truth about righteous living, about self-control that turns from sin, about God's judgment of our lives. And Felix was unwilling to strive. He wanted a convenient season, an easy access. He wanted some things for himself, as you see in the text. He wanted things for himself. He didn't want to give himself to God. He lost the battle. In Acts 26:28, Agrippa said, Paul, you would almost persuade me to be a Christian. Various translations there. You almost persuaded me to become a Christian. Almost, but lost. Almost persuaded. But Agrippa didn't win the battle either. Not because God's power wouldn't have provided, not because the victory wasn't available, but you see, he didn't strive to enter the narrow gates. Here's my question. Are you striving to enter the narrow gates? Really? Are you struggling to be saved? Is it so vital, so important to you that that's where you're going to make your stand with God, with truth, with righteousness? It's a struggle, he says. You need to enter the fight. A fight against self. Jesus said, if any man would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. We have to yield ourselves to win this struggle in the power of God. A fight to sacrifice. It's a fight, it's a struggle to make the sacrifice that we have to make to obey God and walk by faith. It's not an easy thing, but it's a vital thing. It's a necessary thing. Philippians 3, Paul would say, what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. Yes, indeed, I also count all things loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, refuse, the all-scouring, that I may gain Christ. Now, that's a fight. To sacrifice and suffer the loss of all things. We're going to suffer the loss of all things. Here's my question. Have I suffered the loss of anything to follow Jesus? Or at every turn when the call comes, I compromise so I don't have to sacrifice? It's a struggle. We're to strive to enter the kingdom of God. A fight against tradition and expectations. Look at that in context in Luke 13. You see, what Jesus was calling upon them to do was something that very few of them were willing to do. Very few of them were going to be willing to strive to enter the kingdom. They were so wedded to the traditions of the law and to their their incorrect expectations that when the very Messiah came to them, they rejected Him. What are your expectations of salvation? So that when the Messiah comes to you, will you cast Him off? Or will you strive to enter the narrow gate? Look what happened here. And once the master of the house has risen up to shut the door, he's the master, and you begin to stand outside and knock at the door saying, "Lord, Lord, open to us." And He'll answer and say, "I don't know you. Where are you from?" Then you'll begin to say, "We ate and drank in your presence. You taught in our streets." The Messiah came among them. We expected you. We anticipated. We wanted you. But He said, "I'll tell you, I don't know you. Where you're from. Depart from me, all you workers of iniquity." There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth when you see, now watch this, when He's talking to His Jewish audience, when you see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God and yourselves thrust out. Why? Because they thought, wait, we've got easy access. We're the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. We deserve the kingdom. I grew up in the Church of Christ. I deserve the kingdom. And so we take it for granted. And so we develop wrong concepts about Christ and His church. And when things don't meet our expectations and the things that we have generated about the church and the truth and Christ, what do? Well, we don't strive to enter the kingdom, do we? They will come from the east and the west, from the north and the south, and sit down in the kingdom of God. The Gentiles are going to participate, verse 29, in the kingdom of God. Praise God. Otherwise, you and I would be lost. And indeed, there are those that are last who will be first, and the first who will be last. You see, Jesus said, "Most of you to whom I came are unwilling to struggle and to fight, to lay aside mistaken impressions about Messiah and expectations and traditions of men to hear what I say and to follow me." The struggle to enter the kingdom of God is a fight that values the goal of salvation. It is a struggle to do everything the Lord requires of you in order to obtain your salvation. In Cornelius' case, in Acts the 10th chapter, here's a man whom the Lord sent a messenger from heaven to and said, "I want you to go and send to Joppa and bring Peter to you. Because he has some words you need to hear." And Cornelius called a couple of his servants and a soldier and sent them down there to find this man, Peter. And they found him and they brought him back to him. And he said to Peter, "We are all now here gathered in the presence of God to hear everything you have been commanded to tell us." Acts 10 and verse 33. We're all here present. Here's a man who did everything that needed to be done to put him in a place and in a position to hear the Word of God, the truth that would save him. And more than that, when he heard it, he believed it and he obeyed it and was saved. Here's Saul, who struggled for salvation, who had been fighting against Christ, persecuting Christians, putting them to death and giving him his consent to the same and putting them in prison, a persecutor who now, through the series of events, has brought him to Damascus, and the preacher who tells him, "What are you waiting for? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins." What are you waiting for? What are you waiting for in your life that you think is going to be better for you than right now to get up and start being faithful to Jesus Christ, being saved from your sins, becoming a child of God? What is it? Strive to enter the narrow gate. Now look at the contrast of the rich young ruler, who did many, many things right in his life. But when Jesus said, "There's one thing that you lack. There's still one thing. You go and you sell everything that you have and you give to the poor and come follow me and you'll have riches in heaven." And the man went away sorrowful because he had many riches. Oh, you see there? Somebody who's rich can't go to heaven. No, that's not what that teaches at all. It teaches that someone who loves his riches isn't going to go to heaven. That the one who's going to love the things of this world more than Jesus, that person's not going to go to the kingdom of heaven because he's not going to strive to enter it. We can't serve two masters. Are you up for the fight? Are you struggling for your salvation? Become a Christian today. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. He that does not believe will be condemned. These are Jesus' words. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, under the remission of your sins, and you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Verse 41, he urged them. Many are the words. He said, be saved. Save yourself from this crooked generation. Strive to enter the narrow gate. About 3,000 did, and the Lord was adding to the church daily those who were being saved. You need to strive to be saved. Jesus has done so much for us. He's done it. He's died on a cross and resurrected to show He's the Son of God and His power over sin and death, and now is at God's right hand. He's been raised to glory. Will you? Will you strive to become a Christian? You can do it today. Or what about being a faithful Christian? To repent and pray the Lord if perhaps the thought of your heart will be forgiven you. Do you think you're going to go to heaven with sin on your heart that you refuse to repent of? Do you think Jesus is going to say, come on, I'll open the door to you? He said, no, I don't know where you're from. Repent and confess sin to God, and He will forgive by His blood. That's for the Christian. That's for the child of God. The fight to be saved. There's also the fight to help save others. In Galatians 6 and verse 1, brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. This struggle to help one who's overcome in sin is a struggle for pure truth. It's a struggle defined by truth. It's a struggle that says we must bring and help each other stay in the truth that God has revealed. Jude wrote, beloved, while I was very diligent to write to you of our common salvation, I found it necessary to write to you, exhorting you to contend earnestly for the faith which was once for all delivered to the saints. Now there's our word again, contend earnestly, but it also has a little addition to the front part of it that strengthens it. Epiagonismai. It's a strengthened form. He says you contend earnestly. You wear yourself out contending for the faith. It's not just the preacher's job. It's not just the elder's job. It's those who share the common salvation. That's every one of us. Strive. Earnestly contend for the faith that is once for all delivered to the saints. It's this gospel that we have, that we put our trust in, that we live, and that we have been given hope through. Watch, for certain men have crept in unnoticed, who long ago were marked out for this condemnation. Ungodly men who turned the grace of our God into lewdness and deny the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. There are those who would destroy, distort the grace of God. And so we have to contend earnestly, because in the contending for the faith, there is a contending for the salvation of souls. There's a striving, a struggle in the face of difficulty and danger to save some that would be taken from God's grace, that would turn away from it. Look in Acts 15. There were those who began teaching the false doctrine about the law of Moses, and that Gentiles had to be circumcised and keep the law in order to be saved. And in that passage it says, when there had been much dispute, they contended for the faith with those people. Paul would say later, to whom we did not yield submission even for an hour, that the truth of the gospel might continue with you. Some people say it doesn't really matter what you believe. Just be sincere. Paul said, that's false. That's false. If it didn't matter, as long as you're sincere, then why did they dispute? Why did they contend? The Jews were sincere. They really believed the Gentiles ought to be circumcised to be saved. That's the devil's lie to tell you all you have to do is be sincere and that's enough for you to go to heaven. That's the devil's lie. I'm going to fight here this morning to try to convince you differently. God is fighting for your soul. Will you see it? Will you yield to it? To the truth? That you have to, in faith, obey His gospel, His way, and He'll save you? A struggle for truth, for the purity of truth that God has revealed. That's the fight we have to be in. And it is a strenuous endeavor to teach and to help each other mature in Christ. It's not a small thing to teach a class to three-year-olds because you are helping to set a pattern of thinking and of faith. It's not a small thing to teach one-on-one the gospel to a brother or a sister in Christ. It's not a small thing for a young man to give an invitation on a Wednesday night. It's not a small thing to preach the gospel whenever you have an opportunity to teach it to your children. It's not a small thing. It's the striving, it's the fight, it's the struggle that is required for us to mature in Christ. Look at Colossians 1, 24 and 28. That should be Colossians 1, 28 and 29 on the chart. Him we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Here's the obtaining of the prize. Here's the objective. Here's why we preach and warn and teach every man with the wisdom of God, to present men perfect, that is, full grown, mature, complete in Jesus. To this end I also labor, striving according to His working, His power, which works in me mightily. Paul is striving. There's our word, agonizomai. Paul is striving in his preaching, in his warning, in his teaching to present souls perfect, complete, and mature. You see, that's what we have to do when we teach. That's what we do when we preach. That's what we do because it's about saving and securing souls in Jesus Christ. The work is tireless, and it must be prayerfully engaged. Look at Colossians 4 again. Or same in Colossians, but now chapter 4, verses 12 and 13. We read about Epaphras there, who is one of you, a bondservant of Christ. He greets you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers. There's our word again. Strive. Agonizomai. He is working fervently. He is engaged in a struggle for you in prayers. Striving in prayer for each other. We did that this morning as we were led in prayer by our brother Steve. We should make that a part of our lives every day. Striving in prayer, he says, for you. The supplications, the intercessions, that you may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. For I bear him witness, that is Epaphras witness, that he has a great zeal for you and for those that are in Laodicea and Hierapolis. He has a zeal for his brethren, and he's fervently praying. He is struggling in prayer and labor to help you. Labor in prayer with great zeal. Look, I can think of no better illustration than Paul in that respect. 2 Corinthians 12, look what it says about what he says. He says, now for the third time, I'm ready to come to you. And I will not be burdensome on you, for I do not seek yours, but you. For the children ought to not lay up for the parents, but the parents for the children. I will very gladly spend and be spent for your souls. Paul says, I will very gladly spend, be exhausted. I will exhaust what I have to give. And I will be spent. I will be at expenses and I'll be exhausted, really. I will spend whatever I need to spend. I will be the one who bears the cost. And I'll be at expenses to try to save your souls. Paul, he worked tirelessly, prayerfully, in the face of danger and difficulty and peril to save some. How can we any less engage and at the end of the way say, Lord, I fought for you? No, rather, I let others do the fighting. No. See, this fight to help save others is a fight that values the souls of others. We fight, he says, because we know that a man is not profited if he gains the whole world and he loses his own soul. We know that. We get that. And so we struggle. We strive. We labor fervently. We struggle because we know God has shown His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. We strive because we love what God has done for us. We know that price that's been paid. We fight. We fight the devil, resisting him, steadfast in our faith. As we know, we're convinced that if we will in our lives resist the devil, he will flee. So we fight. We struggle. We engage the battle. We engage the struggle. My little children, let us not love in word or tongue, but in deed and in truth. It is in the engaging of the fight that we show our love for God, that we show our love for one another, that we know the value of the soul. Look at Hebrews 12:12-14. The Word of God says, therefore, strengthen the hands which hang down and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, so that that which is lame may not be dislocated, but rather be healed. Pursue peace with all people and the holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. We fight, we struggle, we strive to help save others because we know the value of the soul. We know the price that has been paid to save our souls. Because we love one another, we engage the battle. We stand up for Jesus. There's also the fight that each one of us must fight to remain saved. We have to fight to remain saved. We compete to be victorious. When you play a game, do you play to lose? Oh, I know sometimes we play a game to have fun, but when you engage a contest, do you do it to lose? Paul said, of course you don't. You do it to win. And it's that he uses to exhort us when he says, first of all, exercise self-control. 1 Corinthians 9:25-27. Everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. That is our word. Agonizomai. Everyone who competes, who enters the contest, he's in the contest now, he's in the fight, he's in the fray, he's in the struggle. He wants the prize. He exercises self-control, temperate. He's temperate in all things. They do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. We have to fight with resolve. Therefore I run thus, not with uncertainty. Thus I fight, not as one who beats the air. I'm not shadow boxing. I'm engaging a fight that is deliberate and purposeful with resolve and determination of faith. That's what He's calling us to when we compete. That's why we enter the contest. That's why you became a Christian. To obtain an imperishable crown. And so He says, be successful. Discipline yourself. You want to succeed? Discipline. I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I preach to others, I myself should become disqualified. The successful struggle of faith requires that we discipline ourselves, that we discipline our minds and we discipline our bodies. We exercise the self-control so that we will not be cast off. We won't be disqualified in the contest. but we'll be victorious. We fight to remain saved and gain the victory. It's a fight then that will not be finished until we die. We're going to struggle in this fight until we die, or we're going to lay down the fighting and give in to the enemy and lose our souls. Paul said, fight the good fight of faith. There's our word again. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life. There's the obtaining of the prize to which you were called. The gospel has called us to the life eternal and to the battle, to the fight, to the struggle. And we confess the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. Timothy, you did that. Christian, this morning, you did that. Now fight. Struggle. Enter the fray. And understand you're in a contest that requires self-control and deliberate, consistent walking by faith, fighting the good fight to obtain the life eternal. Life's not going to end until we die. Paul said, I have fought the good fight. There's the word. I finished the course. I've kept the faith. Now watch. It's a good fight. It's a valuable, virtuous contest in which we are engaged. I have finished the course, the race, the path of life. That's the course. That's the race. It's the life that we live. I've kept the faith. I've guarded it. I've attended to it. I've held fast the gospel. That's what he says. If you want to fight this fight and remain saved, then you've got to value the contest in which you're engaged. You have to every day walk the path, strive to enter the narrow gate, and you have to guard and hold fast the gospel in your life. Let it be the pattern you live. Let it be who you are. Paul did that. And so he said, finally, or henceforth, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me in that day, and not to me only, but also all those whose love is appearing. There's the outcome. There's the reward. Are you up to the fight? Are you up to the fight to strive for your own salvation? To enter the narrow gate? If so, if you're lost this morning, then you need to start striving. You need to believe Jesus is the Son of God. And you need to confess that faith and repent of your sins. Because Jesus has commanded it of you. He's the one that gives you entrance to the eternal life. He's the one that can save you. He has the right to expect of you what He wants of you. For you to receive the blessing that He offers to you. And then be baptized into Christ for the remission of those sins. And He will save you. He will add you to His church. Are you up to the fight of struggling to help save others? We all need each other's help. God has designed it for us to help one another. Enter the fray. Enter the contest. The struggle to help save. Are you up to competing lawfully to finish your contest victoriously? 2 Timothy 2 and verse 15. Again, using the symbolism of the athlete, he says, if anyone competes in athletics, he is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. The person who runs the race guilty of infraction is disqualified. So, strive throughout your life to obey the gospel in humble faith, trusting in the power of God, not your own, but God's power in your life. It's about a struggle, brethren. Jesus said, few. Look at that. Let's close on that. Luke 13, 23 and 24. Jesus, in His answer, said, oh, yeah, everybody's going to go to heaven. Everybody's going to enter the kingdom of God. That's why I came. So everybody will go to heaven now. No, He said, few. That was His answer when He asked, are few saved? Jesus said, seek to enter. Many will seek to enter and will not be able. Many will seek and not be able. The question is, will you be able? Only if you strive lawfully, a
according to the will of God and His gospel. He's ready to save you. Respond to His call. Be saved into Christ. While together we stand, while we sing.
To follow Jesus, amen.